Welcome to the Browns Blitz. Today is Wednesday, October 2nd, and this is episode 21. I'm your host today, Rod Bloom, and I'm going in alone today. My partner, Sam Maddie's not available, so we're going to go a little bit shorter today. I don't think you guys want to hear me talk for an hour all by myself, so we're going to just kind of go over some things, of course, wrap up the Browns-Ravens game and do a little bit of a preview about the 49ers and go over a couple other things, and we're going to call it a day. Of course, it was nice big win for the Browns, but before we get into that, we always do our Blitz beverages. Unfortunately, I am not someone who likes to drink alone, so tonight I am drinking some water. I thought about getting a beer out, but I just thought better of it at this point. Just kind of shorten up the show a little bit and just going to stick with some water. Just kind of keep things flowing a little bit. So going to get right into the Browns-Ravens game. I think this is a game that a lot of us really didn't know what to expect. And I think we were hoping that the Browns would show up for this game, that they would kind of figure things out going into this game. We were hoping that the O-line would play a lot better, that Baker would figure some things out, and that the defense would be able to contain Lamar Jackson, you know, enough to give the offense a chance to score some points and stay in the game. And really, mission accomplished on all three of those things. I don't know that we could have asked for a better game. You're talking about a division game on the road, first division game. You know, Baltimore had two big wins, and you know, I guess they weren't really in the game with Kansas City, but you know, the final score looked kind of like they could play with them a little bit. So they looked like a pretty good team coming into this. So for the Browns to go in and do what they did. In Baltimore was pretty darn impressive, and it really started with Baker. Baker was he was the Baker from 2018, from the end of 2018. He didn't hold on to the ball. He made decisions. He got rid of it quickly. The offensive line, I think, played better. They gave him more protection, but I think a lot of the problems that we'd seen from the offensive line were, in many cases, were because Baker was holding out onto the ball too long in previous weeks. So Baker was more decisive. He came out firing. He was 20 of 30 for 342 yards. Granted, you know, the touchdown passes aren't exactly piling up yet for Baker, but the yardage, the passing yards are. So he's building. Okay, guys, he's looking, starting with this game, he's looking like the Baker from last season. He looked comfortable. This is against a Ravens defense who, you know, I think Sam and I talked about it. This isn't the same as the Ravens defense from last year, but still pretty decent defense. So for him to go out and throw for 342 yards, he had the one pick, but I think that was kind of on Jarvis for cutting off his route and not getting in there. I don't really think that. I think if Jarvis continues his route, that's probably not an interception. And that's probably the only thing Jarvis did wrong all day. Jarvis had his probably, you know, I'm not sure what Jarvis has done in his career as far as number of touchdown receptions in a game, but I know it was a career high with 167 receiving yards on the 8 catches. Unfortunately, he did that in 3 quarters, pretty much, I believe. I don't think he played at all in the 4th quarter before he went out and went into a concussion protocol. So, monster game from Jarvis. He was pretty much, he was Baker's main target, and it kind of... Baker needed him because Odell was locked up with Humphrey and pretty much a battle royale all game long where Humphrey was holding him on just about every play. If he wasn't holding him, he was tackling him and choking him, and they were punching each other. And I just couldn't believe some of the replays, the stuff that was going on between the two of those guys. Penalties weren't being called. I think Humphrey may have been called for two holding penalties, but he probably could have been called for a holding penalty on almost every play of the game when he was covering OBJ. So I guess the officials were letting him play, but Odell had to have been pretty darn frustrated. But on the other hand, I think, and I'll bet, he was excited for Jarvis, for the game that he had, and he was probably really excited about the win. So I think somebody's going to pay for that game though, here pretty soon, and I'm pretty sure OBJ is going to have a monster game coming up. The offensive line, they did their job, and put them and Baker together. And I mean, this the Baltimore Ravens defensive line is pretty stout. So the Browns offensive line did an excellent job. The other guy we need to mention is Ricky Seals-Jones. I got some love on Twitter because I sent a tweet out saying that watch for him to be more involved. Well, I'll take the credit. I was expecting it to be a little bit more gradual. I didn't really expect him to have a touchdown catch this week and three receptions for 82 yards. But the guy can play. Freddie's familiar with him. He's a blocker, and he's got good hands. So the Browns are going to play anybody who steps up and has the ability. And Ricky looked really good, so I think he's going to get more playing time. I think he's going to get, I would say, a few more targets, but the issue there is I think he's going to get more tight end targets, when the Browns want to go to the tight end. But the thing there is that the Browns reportedly are going to have Jarvis Landry available Monday. And it's also Callaway's going to be back, and Rashard Higgins is also reportedly going to be playing Monday. So put all those guys, make all those guys available. There's only so many balls to go around. It's a great scenario for the team. It means that some guys aren't going to get as many targets as they would probably like, but it's a nightmare for the defense, and it's the kind of thing that sets up really great for Baker. So he likes to spread the ball around, and we all know the chemistry he has with Rashard Higgins, and I'm really looking forward to seeing what he can do with more healthy receivers out there. The defense, I tell you what, I don't think you can be too impressed, or can really overstate how good the defense has played the last few weeks, really. I know they lost to the Rams, but they held the Rams to 20 points. The Rams offense is pretty darn good, okay? They're good. And I know they gave up a lot of yardage and some touchdowns, but you hold the Rams to 20 points, your offense needs to find a way to score and win. So and they did that missing all four of their starters in the secondary. Still missing three starters in the secondary this week. They held a pretty potent Ravens offense to, 25 points. But let's face it, the last touchdown was in garbage time. Browns were playing soft, letting them take what they wanted and just running some time off the clock. So, and they're up by 20-some points at that point. So they were more than content to let the Ravens slowly drive down the field with short passes and eventually score a touchdown that took them a while to score. So the defense and Steve Wilks has done an excellent job. Yeah, he's got some personnel out there, but man, you've got to know how to use these guys, and he's been phenomenal. I think some people have given him some credit, but I think he deserves a lot more credit than what he's getting. Yeah, I can't wait to just, keep watching this defense and hopefully see him get some guys back and would just watch them take on some of these better, you know, some of the offenses that are coming up. You know, the 49ers this week, which I'll talk about shortly. That game, you know, that offense can definitely do some things. And then, of course, you got the Pats coming and some other teams. So the defense is going to be tested. And it just seems like they're kind of catching their groove right now. And hopefully they can get healthy, healthier, especially in the secondary, and have more options there. Penalties, the Browns, they're still committing penalties, but they were down to 6 penalties against the Ravens. They've decreased every week on the penalties, and some of that's going to depend how the game was called. I think these officials with the Ravens, they just weren't calling a lot of stuff that were letting them play. But 6 penalties on the Browns, 3 on the Ravens. There could have been a lot more called on the Ravens. Probably some more called on the Browns, but I think the Browns have gone from 18 penalties to 9 penalties to I think there was 7 or 8 against the Rams, and then 6 this week. So keep improving on that, and you're helping yourself a lot. Finally, the man in the game was Nick Chubb, and you know, Sam and I have talked a lot about it. We want to see him get 25 carries a game. Well, the Browns just kept pounding him, and you know, the early part of the game, he was working hard. He was getting his 3 yards a carry, and the guy is amazing. He just he's just a professional all the way. And I've loved Nick Chubb since he showed up in Cleveland. I really didn't have a big opinion of him either way going into the draft, because I really didn't know he was on the Browns' radar. But when he came into Cleveland, just seeing the way he carries himself, just the kind of guy he is. He is the kind of guy I want on the Browns, I want to root for, and man, the guy is good. He is so darn good. He didn't even get to 25 carries this week. He only got to 20, but 165 yards, 3 touchdowns, and I think the last 3 or 4 carries he didn't get a lot because, you know, the Browns are just trying to run the clock down. I think at one point he was at 16 carries for 168 or something, and his average was over 10. So the last the last possession or so kind of pulled his average down a little bit to an 8.2. And then Dontrell Hilliard even kicked in a touchdown run and another 27 yards. So the Browns rushed for over 190 yards and 4 touchdowns. You take that. This is the AFC North. Play good defense, run the football. This is what's going to win you games when it's colder than heck outside. And the Browns have put a great formula together. Baker seems a lot more comfortable. I think he's going to start stretching the field a little bit more, especially with getting some of these receivers back. But man, with Nick Chubb, this is going to be a team that's going to run. They're going to run the ball a lot, and that's exactly what you do when you have a stud like Nick Chubb in the backfield. So that was just a very exciting game. I was actually out of town Sunday. Believe it or not, guys, I think anybody that follows me knows that I'm a rock and roll kind of guy. That's the kind of music I've listened to pretty much my whole life. Just what I like. But you know, I was at a concert in Detroit on Sunday, so I recorded the game. And I actually ended up watching it Monday, which was good because it let me kind of take more notes and that, because I knew what was coming because I had kept up with the game and everything. So I knew some of the key moments that were going to happen, so I was able to watch a little bit closer in that. But Sunday I was at the Post Malone concert in Detroit, which is totally out of my comfort zone. I think my wife and I were probably the oldest people there. Fun, but anyways, never been to anything like that, and I've been to plenty of rock concerts. I got to say, I didn't really care a whole lot for the opening acts, but Post Malone, the guy's got talent, the guy can sing, and the guy put on a heck of a show. So I actually enjoyed that part of the show. So that was my Sunday, but a lot of people were keeping me updated on what happened during the Browns game. Let me know as soon as Ricky Seals-Jones scored that touchdown, because my tweet was relevant to it. But that was my Sunday. Got up early Monday, came back, and I pretty much immediately started watching the Browns game. It was probably almost more fun knowing that they had a win coming to watch it, and just knowing I was going to see three Nick Chubb touchdowns. So it was a lot of fun. But I'm going to go into the 49ers game at this point. I think a lot of people, it's funny. People kind of went from almost feeling like that Ravens game was a must win. I heard people told me that. This is a must win. They got to win this game. Now, it's like, okay, now they got to put games back to back. They got to win two in a row to prove something. They got to get something going. This is the tough part of the schedule. I mean, you know, they just beat a division leader on the road. Now they got to fly out to the West Coast for a Monday night game against the 49ers, who 49ers are 3-0. And then they got to host the Seahawks, who have looked pretty darn good this year. Then they got to go to Foxborough, which is after a bye. But still, you're playing the Patriots. We know what happens in Foxborough, guys. So these are the 4 weeks that they had in a row, okay? You can't expect, I don't care who you are, you can't expect to just start reeling off wins at this stretch of the schedule. So you have to respect this 49ers team. This is a team with a great defensive line. They run the ball extremely well. I think they're one of the top few teams in the league at running the ball. So it's going to be, the game is going to be similar to, the game plan is going to be similar to what the Browns, I think, had to do, or maybe a combination of things, what the Browns have had to do over their last few games. They had to stop the run against the Rams, and, of course, the pass too, but the Rams and the Ravens both want to run the football. Well, the 49ers are a similar team. 49ers also have that great defensive line, very similar to the Rams and the Ravens. Ravens defensive line is pretty tough too, so it's not a big difference in game planning for the Browns as far as those two facets of the game. Going out to the West Coast is tough. Playing on a Monday night again. Hopefully the Browns are used to playing in prime time now. But guys, this is going to be a tough game. So the good news is that it sounds like the Browns are going to get some guys back in Higgins and Callaway and hopefully Jarvis. It sounds like, from what I'm hearing, that all three of those guys are going to play. If that's the case, that's good news. Hopefully the defense can play the way they've been playing and can keep the 49ers down. The reality is, in today's NFL, you can't expect to shut teams out. So keep the 49ers from scoring a lot, from the quick strikes, which is exactly what they did against the Ravens. And then let your offense go out there and do what they do. Pound the football, take the strikes when they get them, and get some points on the board. And if the Browns can play the way they did against the Ravens, they can play with anybody. And they have a shot to beat the 49ers. You know, I think if you look at the 49ers' last game against the Steelers, gave them a great game. And I think if we look at who's played who up to this point, I think you have to assume that the Browns are a better football team than the Steelers right now. But, I mean, we'll find that out in a few weeks. So I think watching the end of that game, that 49ers Steelers game, and knowing that the Steelers were able to play with them kind of made this 49ers game look a little bit different to me. Of course, that game was in Pittsburgh, whereas this game's going to be in San Francisco. So we'll see. It's any given week, you know, can be a little bit different. So I have a lot of confidence in this Browns defense, and I think that they'll be able to hold the score down in this game. So I don't think they're going to shut the 49ers out completely, but I can see them holding the 49ers down to maybe 17 points, and I think the Browns are going to be able to move the football. So I'm looking for a game like 27-17 Browns. I'm writing that one down. And if you're keeping score at home, I did have the Browns beating the Ravens last week. And I didn't write the scores. I didn't write our score predictions down, but Sam had the Ravens winning a close one, and I had the Browns winning a close one. So the game wasn't that close, but I did get the win on that week. One thing I want to talk about is kind of what I talked briefly about a little earlier. People wanting the Browns, you know, now to win every game. It's just expectations versus what I would call reasonable growth. The expectations is what everybody talked about before this. Can the Browns live up to the expectations that everybody's putting on them? Well, you know, the Browns were keeping that. They made it pretty clear that the expectations were outside and they have their own expectations inside. So that's not something that the Browns seem to be too worried about. But for us outside, you have to be realistic and look at the schedule and know that, yes, it takes some time for this team to grow together and to get a direction and to do, you know, to figure out what works best for them with the personnel, with the new coaching staff, with a new head coach and everything. So for us to expect them, since they've lost a couple games, that they need to win every single game is crazy. You look at this division. Yet the Bengals aren't going anywhere. Pittsburgh's already lost three games. Ravens are 2-2 and really a half game or game, however you want to call it, behind the Browns because of the loss in the division. How many games do the Browns need to win? Well, they need to win as many as they can because, you know, you have your playoff scenarios where you want to, you know, gain home field advantage and everything else in as many playoff games as you can, but who knows? I mean, it's possible 8, 9, 10 wins this division. And, you know, I predicted 12 wins for this team. I still think that's possible. Do I think it's realistic? Probably not. But I think this team still has a really good shot at winning 10 games. But are they going to win their next how many games they have left? 12 games? No, it's not going to happen. So 49ers is a tough game. The Seahawks are a concern to me coming into Cleveland. We'll see what happens. I think the Browns have to be ready for everybody because people are gunning for the Browns because the Browns are this big story. So nobody's going to take the Browns lightly, especially now that they've got a couple wins. So the Browns can't take anybody lightly either. I also wanted to take a look at, now that we are 25% through the season. You guys know I'm a numbers guy, so I have to look at how does everybody's numbers prorate for a full season if we take a look at where we are right now. We played 4 games, 16 games on the year. Baker Mayfield thrown for 1,147 yards. Multiply that times 4, and you get for about 4,600 yards. That's not too shabby. We're not going to look at touchdowns because Baker has not hit his mark yet. He's only thrown 4 touchdown passes. I'm pretty confident he's going to have more than 16 on the year. So Nick Chubb has rushed for 398 yards. That's going to be right at 1,600 yards for the season at that pace. And I know Kareem Hunt's coming back week 9, I'm counting the bye. So who knows what effect that'll have, but Nick's on a pace to rush for 1,600 yards. He's got 4 touchdowns, so that comes to 16 touchdowns as well. Very nice numbers, considering you really feel like he hadn't done a whole lot until this game, but you look at the numbers and they're pretty darn impressive. And then you feel like Odell and Jarvis. You know, Jarvis had a great game this week. Odell's got 308 yards receiving, even though nobody feels, you know, people feel like he really hasn't done a lot yet. And I know we're talking touchdowns, you know, for these guys too. But and Jarvis has 328 yards. So that's, you know, if you just take 300 yards for each guy, that's 1,200 yards for the full season. Pretty nice numbers. And again, those numbers can change when you get some receivers back, but it could also open things up for them. So I just love playing with numbers, guys, so I have to look at that. And then I want to look at Myles Garrett has 6 sacks. If he can keep that pace up, that's 24 sacks, and that would obliterate the team record for the Browns, which is eluding me right now. I think it's right around 16, if I'm not mistaken. But yeah, he's on pace to break that record pretty easily. Larry Ogunjobi's got 3 sacks, so that comes out to 12 for him. And so yeah, that's some pretty nice numbers building up, and especially for the offense, considering we really feel like the offense is just starting to hit its groove. So you have to kind of like those, and I think we're going to see a lot bigger and better things out of the offense coming, especially once they get through some of these next few games. I mean, they could put up some numbers against the 49ers, Seahawks. We know the Pats game is going to be tough. Then they got the Broncos. Bills game could be tough. We'll see what happens in those 2 Steelers games. Dolphins game, you know, Dolphins. I think we're all looking forward to that one, guys. So, but anyways, let's see. I think I've pretty much covered everything. I am not going to talk anyone's ear off any more than this. I appreciate you all hanging with me for this episode of the Browns Blitz. You can catch me on Twitter at CLERodB, and you can find the Browns Blitz on iTunes. It's also posted on Spotify and Podbean, and The Grueling Truth carries our show as well. So be sure and check them out. It's they on their website. If you just Google The Grueling Truth, they will pop up. They're on Twitter at Grueling Truth, and they have our episodes as well. Thanks for listening, and we will catch you next time.